Going to share from Psalm 100 in honor and in recognition of Thanksgiving coming up Thursday. It is it's a wonderful story about the pilgrims. You know, the pilgrims, when they first started out from Plymouth, they started out with two ships. One was the Godspeed, was it the Speedwell or the Godspeed? I think it was the Godspeed. But at any rate, that particular ship, as they were sailing together, took on water, and they had to turn back in, and they patched up the other ship, and they started out again. The Mayflower was doing very well, but the Godspeed took on water again. They had to turn back again, and they came very close to giving up. But 102 pilgrims, or 102 aboard the Mayflower, decided that they were going to try to make it without an accompanying ship, which was a daring feat at best. They were going to cross the Atlantic Ocean, one ship alone. And what's amazing about it is that when they arrived at Plymouth Rock, guess how many arrived? They started out with 102, and 103 arrived. One old woman, I believe the record is, passed away, but there were two children who were born on the voyage, and that's a marvelous blessing. When we think about the Christopher Columbus and the three ships that some people say there were four ships, but one of them went off the edge. But the three ships that he started out with, all the trouble, all the problems they had, disease and all of this, but the Queen of Spain was sending Christopher Columbus out looking for profit, looking for whatever they could find in the new world. Well, in fact, they hadn't even bumped into the new world yet, but they were looking for this new route to the east. And having bumped in accidentally into the Americas, the Queen of Spain was expecting all of the whatever they found, gold or whatever the material goods were. That's what they were. That's what the Christopher Columbus was financed for, was to bring back all of those material goods. But he had a terrible time. And Christopher Columbus was a student of the Old Testament scriptures. Christopher Columbus believed you could actually sail out to the west and come all the way around. He believed that the earth was round when others believed the earth was flat and carried on the back of a massive turtle through the cosmos. I mean, that's science for just a couple of hundred years ago. But Christopher Columbus was reading the Bible, and he was reading in Isaiah chapter 40, where the scripture talks about that God sits upon the circle of the earth, the sphere of the earth. And so he felt like, well, the earth is round, and if it's round, we can sail to the west, and we can come around to the east. And yet he bumped right into the Americas. But as I was going to say, he had many problems. He had many burdens. In fact, many times they were going to throw Christopher Columbus over the side. But he was going because of what he believed in the scriptures. But at the same time, he was also going for material gain. Compare that to about 200 years later, and you've got the pilgrims setting out with the one ship, the Mayflower. And they sailed all the way across the Atlantic, 66 days. And yet they started out with 102 and arrived with 103. And they went for what reason? They went for the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. This morning in Psalm 100, we want to share in a Thanksgiving message. The pulpit commentary introduces the 100th Psalm as a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. It's a psalm of David, and that's King David, of course. A psalm of praise. There are many professing Christians who are not comfortable with the invitation to praise the Lord. You go into a worship setting and somebody, maybe this pastor is preaching and then he begins to say, let's lift holy hands and praise the Lord. Let's lift our holy hands and praise the Lord. Well, if you're going to lift your holy hands and praise the Lord, you're going to lift your holy hands and praise the Lord. Why? Why are you going to do that? Because the preacher said, let's lift our hands and praise to the Lord. Isn't that right? I mean, that's right. Because the preacher says, or the worship leader says, let's lift our hands in holy praise to the Lord. But let me tell you something. When God wants you to lift your hands in holy praise, He'll move upon you in a marvelous and wonderful way. As I'm preaching, sometimes I can look out and I'll see somebody who will put their hand up. And God has moved them to do that. Maybe God hasn't moved you to do that. That doesn't mean that your praise is less. It doesn't mean at all that your praise is less. But listen, when people start talking about we need to praise the Lord, some of us may feel a little uncomfortable about that because we have our method of praising the Lord and other people have another method of praising the Lord. What is your emotional response to the word praise? If we were at a football game where our team had just scored the winning touchdown, why, we would stand up and scream and shout and praise our team for their glorious victory. Would we not? I didn't stay long enough with the State Carolina game to know what the outcome was. Anybody care to tell me what the outcome was of the State Carolina game? Rita, I know you. Oh, is she? Okay, I know. I know where we're at. I know where we're at. But such emotional response as that to Christ is, according to some, not necessary. And yet Christ, our Lord and Savior, has won a much greater victory for our team than any other breathing soul could ever win. Isn't that right? He has accomplished the greatest feat, won the greatest victory that will for all eternity, and that is the fact that he died on Calvary's cross and he opened up heaven to receive us in as we come in his name. Someone might ask the question, what is there to praise the Lord about this morning? Well, as Christians, I know that you're always there, you always have things to praise the Lord about. But someone might ask the question, what is there to praise the Lord about? There's war in Iraq. There's war in Afghanistan. There's war in Africa. War abounds these days. And what does the Bible say about war abounding? What does the Bible say about wars and rumors of wars? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was talking to his disciples about that, he said his disciples wanted to know, when's the end of the age going to be? And Jesus says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Are we living in that day today? And without a doubt. Without a doubt. But there's war in Afghanistan, there's war in Africa, and there's war throughout the world. There's one natural disaster after another, and corruption flows down from the top of corporate and political ladders like water over the Niagara Falls. Wickedness and corruption abound, and nobody has a plan for bringing it to an end. You know what the Bible says about the city that rejects the Lord? The city that, or the nation that rejects the Lord? The scripture says that the watchman, unless God keep the city, unless God keep the city, the watchman rises in vain. Who is the watchman? Who's the watchman for us today? Who would be the watchman for us today in the community? Police officers, wouldn't they? Wouldn't a watchman be the police officers, the sheriff's department? Boy, they'd go through the county. The county would love to have more deputies. No doubt the police departments in the cities would like to have more police officers. But despite the number of police officers and deputies and sheriffs and all of this other, corruption is on a rise. And the Bible says, unless God keep the city, the watchman rises in vain. The watchman rises in vain. We need to be praying for our community. We need to be praying for our cities and state and the nation. But there is one natural disaster after another, and corruption is on the rise. What is our response? What is the praise to the Lord? What is there, somebody might say, to praise the Lord about? Not to mention our economic future. You know, in this nation and throughout the world looks bleak. Why even come to church, somebody might say? Church hasn't helped me feel better about the world situation. What is there to praise the Lord about? Well, I'll tell you, I hope you as a Christian have a lot of things to share with people who ask a question like that, to share with them what there is, that there's a lot of wonderful things to praise the Lord about. We praise the Lord this morning because this world is not our eternal home. This world is not our final resting place. There is an entryway made for each one of us into a glorious and a new eternal kingdom to come where there will be no more wickedness, no more corruption, no more war, no more fear, misery, sickness, pain, and suffering, and no more tears. No more tears. Tomorrow I will preside over a funeral where a young man 17 years old took his own life, some believe quite by accident, playing this game of cutting off the circulation and then releasing it so you get this somehow. I'm not sure what it's supposed to do, but it's something that's, it's one of those little games that people play today that are very dangerous. And he ended up, when he passed out, he ended up hanging himself completely. He didn't come out of it. And so we'll preside over that funeral tomorrow, and how terrible and how sad for mom and dad. But you know what's a wonderful thing is that the little fella, I mean, I say the little fella, he was six foot six inches tall, but he was still, to his mom, he was just a little fella. To his dad, he was just a little fella. And the wonderful thing that I have to cling to is a poem that he wrote about what happens to him after he leaves this world. He's going home to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't understand, and I'm not even going to try to explain why he did what he did. But I know this. The scripture says, that the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I believe that that young man is present with the Lord. And that is a wonderful comforting knowledge for that mother and for that father. And so we praise the Lord because he's planted a home. He's given us a home in glory. I thank the Lord this morning for Christian fellowship and encouragement, that as we wait upon the Lord's coming, we may be strengthened, each one of us, in the promises of God and in the ever-present comforting of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together." For what reason? For no other reason than for us together to lift up and give praise, honor, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to encourage one another. As that verse continues, as we see the signs on every side of the approaching of that great day of Christ's return. It's amazing to me that there are so many people in this world experiencing so many trials and tribulations, so much heartache and pain, so much sorrow and sadness and disappointment, and yet they have never turned their hearts, not one time, toward the Lord Jesus Christ, never entered God's house, even for special occasions like Easter or Thanksgiving or even Christmas. There are so many people in this world today that have achieved great success to the point of owning so much of this world's goods, the world's applause and the world's recognition, and yet died by suicide because they had reached the top of a worldly ladder for which they found no satisfaction for their soul. One of the greatest, one of the most wonderful things you and I have in this world right now, as we see whatever is going on in the world, negative, disastrous or whatever, is that we are going to have the peace of God resting squarely upon our hearts as we walk through whatever God brings us through. Yet many who have so much have so little. King Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The world's goods quickly turn to ash, and the momentary satisfaction with such goods quickly vanishes away like clouds drifting through the night." Not one time did these people call upon the Lord. Not one time did they think to come into his house and to thank him or to give him praise, honor, and glory. And yet I hope this morning that you've come for that very purpose, that you've come to give him praise, that you've come to give him honor and to glorify his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're thankful for the many blessings of life he's bestowed upon you. It has been said, if you think you haven't much to be thankful for, listen, if you think you haven't much to be thankful for, why not be thankful for some of the things you don't have? How about being thankful for some of the things that you don't have? Do you have cancer? Are you wrestling with cancer? Do you have diabetes? You have both arms. You have both legs. Even though we may not have all we want, we certainly ought to be thankful that we don't get all that we deserve. The psalmist encourages us this morning, while we still have breath in our bodies, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1, it says, psalmist says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." When the Lord turns his ear toward earth today, what does he hear? When the Lord turns his ear toward earth today, what does he hear? He hears weeping and wailing. He hears the voices of confusion and despair. He hears the sounds of a people lost or trapped in spiritual darkness. And this is to be expected because the world is seeking its own way today. following after the counsel of men rather than the counsel of God. But what does the Lord hear when he turns his ear toward his church today? What does the Lord hear when he turns his ears toward your heart today? Does he hear a joyful noise? And by the way, what is a joyful noise? What is it? Many times when we hear the choir sing, we think how wonderful that is, and the choir wants to invite us to come be a part of their choir. And the best we can say is, well, we can make the best we can do is make a joyful noise. Well, that may be true. I think any Christian who takes their part in the choir, their voice harmonizes wonderfully with the rest of God's people. What is a joyful noise? I believe it's the sound of a people who are worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And it's the sound of brothers and sisters in Christ who are encouraging one another, praying for one another, and preparing one another for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Lord hear when he turns his ear toward your home and your heart? Verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing." Church attendance is a means by which we can serve the Lord. We can come together to encourage one another, to exhort one another in the Lord. The Bible clearly admonishes us to serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters who I can fellowship with as I wait upon the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful today that the church is here for all to come and to worship the Lord. And I hope that we can all come before him with singing, not only on our lips, but in our hearts as well. And verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." The psalmist says that the Lord, he is God. How many gods are there? Well, the world's got many gods. The world's got many gods, but the Bible teaches us that there's how many gods? One. That's right. Revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many gods are there? There's only one God by nature. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Isaiah 45:22, God says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." In Isaiah 43 verses 10 through 11, the Bible says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Donald Gray Barnhouse one time was asked if he believed, the question put to him is, Dr. Barnhouse, don't you believe in freedom of religion? Listen to what he said. Barnhouse was once asked if he believed in freedom of religion. His response was, "I certainly believe in freedom of religion. I believe a man is free to choose to go to hell by any other way or go to heaven God's way." Amen? That's true. That's true. I'm thankful that I serve one holy and true God, and that he is loving and merciful and compassionate, and that he is able to meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so who is our Lord? Who is our God? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator of all things and the author and the finisher of our faith. And the latter part of verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves." God in Christ created all things. John 1:3 says, speaking of the Word that became flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." I guess that's all-encompassing, isn't it? I mean, the very pew you're sitting on right now is held together because of the power of God himself. Why did God create you and me? What is our purpose? What did he create us for? We read in Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, they are and were created." And so we are created to bring honor and glory and pleasure to the Lord Jesus Christ. God created you and me for his pleasure. And he also created a kingdom that we might live in for all eternity. John 14:2, the Bible, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." This too was for his good pleasure. And in Luke 12:32, the Lord told his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." How wonderful. We would never be able to enter God's kingdom any other way save by Christ's invitation alone. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's an invitation. God, we can't go there on our own part. We can't go there because of what we've done, how we've acted, how we respond any other way. The only way we can go to heaven is to respond to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ as he makes that open door. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." God in Christ, our Creator, our Savior, and our Lord. That's who God is. Who are we? Who are we? The Scripture says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. David wrote in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God takes wonderful care of his sheep. In Matthew 6:31-33, the Bible says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" And we're worried about that today, are we not? As the economy begins to drop and people lose their jobs, we begin to wonder. We begin to worry. Well, listen, as we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't worry. Don't worry. God is going to take care of you. He says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." So God is able to meet our every need. He's able to meet your every need, no matter what comes, as we look to him. Verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." Someone once wrote about church attendance. "Don't wait for the hearse to take you to God's house. If you do, you will go regardless of the weather. You will go regardless of how your family feels. You will go regardless of the condition of your body. You will go regardless of how many hypocrites are there. You will go regardless of how much you are needed at home or on your job. And regardless of how good the singing is, you will never hear it. Regardless of what the minister says, it will do you no good. Yes, you will go to the altar, but you will not pray. You will have a great need then, but no one will be able to help you. And when you leave, you will never be able to enter God's house again." And so the writer says, don't wait for the hearse to take you to God's house. Today is the day of God's salvation. The Bible teaches that now is the time for all to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now is the time to be thankful unto him. And now is the time to enter his courts with praise. Why is that? Verse 5. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." God's hand of mercy is extended to every generation. His hand is extended to you this morning. The time for making a joyful noise before the Lord is right now. The time for entering his gates with thanksgiving is right now. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." In 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I'm thankful this morning that God loved me enough to send his Son to pave the way for me to come into the kingdom of God. And the question is, what are you thankful for this morning? What are you thankful for this morning? I believe that everyone in this sanctuary right now knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I believe that, but I don't know that. But the Bible makes it so clear, God has made it so clear. It says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no one else. You know, if we love the Lord, if we praise the Lord, if we're thankful for all that He's done for us, one of the most important things for you and I to do is to share that with people who are miserable, who are dying every day, who are going to church, not because they wanted to, but because the hearse takes them there. There are people in our community, there are people where we work, who may not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. They need to see Jesus in you. They need to see Jesus in you. You are the only Bible that many folks will ever read. And you have an opportunity as the Holy Spirit leads you to open up your lips, open up your mouth, and share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. That is what we can be thankful for. We know the truth. The truth, as Jesus says, has set us free. Now we need to be sharing that truth with others. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Father, we thank You, Father, for the many blessings of life that You bestow upon us. Father, we are unworthy of the least of Thy blessings, and yet, Father, You pour those blessings out upon us. Father, just we pray this morning, if there's one here that's never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, never given their heart to Jesus, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would so knock upon that heart's door that they would open their heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and just be awash in the peace that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, there may be Christians here this morning who for some reason are not serving You like they should. I pray for them this morning too, Father, and I pray that they would have a new urgency and see and feel a new urgency of getting on with service to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the only way they can do that is to, right where they're at, rededicate their hearts to Christ Jesus, rededicate their hearts to a service to Thee and to a service to others. Father, we thank You for this hour. We thank You, Father, for Thanksgiving Thursday, Father, as we'll come together in family and share and celebrate of all the blessings that You've bestowed upon us. Father, we are thankful today on Thanksgiving Day, Father, as it was shared this week. On Thanksgiving Day, many will be with family. Many will enjoy food. Many will enjoy the parades. And certainly many will be wrapped around that television set watching the football games. But Father, help us to realize the many that won't be home. The many who are on foreign shores, Father, are facing the enemy even today. Many who are standing by to face the enemy, and many of those, Father, who are there to help and to serve in the event of injury or even death, Father. Lord, we pray for all of those that will not be able to be home today because they're serving this nation on foreign shores. Father, You just bless. You bless them. Bless those families, Father, that are waiting for their loved ones to come home as well. We just ask You, Father, to undergird them with Thy peace and with Thy blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The invitation hymn is 330.